In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sometimes even watching television can be enlightening. I watched a program the other day, and the players in the drama were concerned over life after death, whether or not there is anything after this life. And one was a believer that there was life after death, and the other was not. And I thought how different it was for me. At the time of my return to Christianity and conversion to Orthodox Christianity, because I don't feel as though I have to choose between believing or not believing in life after death. It seems to me that I have experienced death and resurrection. We often speak in those terms about confession of our sins, the confession of how we have missed the mark and how we are living a life that is not the life that we were born to live. It is an experience of living death. It is a terrible and soul-shaking experience, and that was my experience as a young man many years ago. I know there is life after death because I feel as though I have experienced death in this life. It's not a poetic metaphor when we compare passing through the experience of having cut ourselves off from God and others by living a life separate from God and separate from others. That death that we experience, we can't pass through it and come out the other side based on our own strength and our own power, because we are created in the image and likeness of God. We can only arise from that condition by repentance and resurrection from that living death. Passing through that kind of death, that kind of catastrophe and collapse of the sense of who we are, is not something we can pass through alone. We can only pass through along with one who has arisen from the dead. And that is the necessity of Christ for us. Passing through death without Christ, that is, on our own, is hell for the soul. It is hell for the soul in this life. Dying without the love of God, rejecting God, rejecting others, being in the presence of Christ and not loving Him and not loving others, but only loving ourselves. In the end, after our physical death, that is hell. That is the nature of hell. Not to love God who is all in all, to be separated from Him. It is the same in this life as it is after life. It seems to me that I once missed the mark so fully and completely that continued life as who I was meant to be was no longer possible. But I passed through that death, and I arose in Christ changed. And that is what confession, the sacrament of repentance, is meant to be. We are baptized into a life that is greater than ours, a life that is divine and human at the same time. And when we sin, it breaks our heart because we are cut off from God and we are alone and struggling on our own. And when we repent of that sin, we confess the sin, not just admitting that we've broken a rule, but we confess that we have done something that has separated us from the God that we love and the others that we love. It changes us. God changes us when that happens. It can only happen by passing through death in the hands of God. Christians, St. Paul says, die to themselves. That is the kind of death that he is talking about. St. Paul, in words that we have heard today, says the prayer of Psalm 44. For your sake we are killed all day long. All day long. If we die to ourselves, if we turn from anger and instead of defending ourselves, repent and die to ourselves, at that moment, at that point, during the passing of any day, if we die to ourselves, if we are killed all day long, whenever any kind of spiritual challenge comes, if we die to ourselves in that moment, then we are fulfilling St. Paul's prayer. For your sake, we are killed all day long. When St. Paul says this, he says it in the light of Christ. It was not so in the Old Testament when that psalm was written. But it is so now. Death and resurrection. Constantly, continually, that's the nature of repentance. We experience death in this life. And if our faith is in Christ God, then how can we doubt that when our body and soul are separated from one another, it is yet one more great death to pass through into the life that we have already experienced, that resurrection in Christ. Our temptation as we live our lives is either to die to ourselves or to defend our vanity and take up our sword and resort to anger, to oppose others violently, defensively, and in self-righteous and self-loving anger. When violent men came to take Jesus away to prison and trials, Peter opposed them violently. And Jesus Christ told him, "Peter, put back your sword in its place, for he who lives by the sword dies by the sword." Instead, Christians oppose the wrath of hell within themselves, and they strike down anger and kill the fury that energizes all of the children of wrath who torture the world that we live in every day. It has always been so. The children of wrath torture the world that we live in. Only in Christ are we able to walk across the sea of chaos in peace. In Scripture, to be made straight, to perfectly line up and be realigned with God, is called being justified. This is a term that in earlier times any carpenter or builder would be familiar with. To justify the line, to make it straight and true. In order to avoid wrath, in order to be able to turn wrath away when the temptation to anger comes, we need constant justification. We need continual realignment, continual justification, continually being made straight by dying to ourselves, not twisting off into some direction that separates us from God and others, but keeping straight. But the self-justifying soul understands the word justification very differently. It thinks, "I do not need changing. I do not need my orientation to be spiritually realigned. I am fine as I am. The world must be changed to accommodate me. Others must change so that I may be able to remain as I am. I am justified, just as I am." It is the world that is out of joint. It is others that failed to serve me. And so we are twisted beyond possibility of communion with God and others. There is even a twisted interpretation of Scripture and our relationship to God that makes us judges of our own salvation. And it says, "I am made right with God already by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my place. I can be saved without change, without becoming like God. I can remain as I am, just as I am." But that is a lie. To love God and others, we must be realigned with them. We must be straight with them and true, and straight and true with God Himself, because we are created in His image and we are meant to be like Him. And that means straight and true. not justifying ourselves, not being satisfied to be separate from him by him separately from us, justifying us on our behalf in a way that we don't participate. How we see things, our vision itself, must be realigned, must be made straight and true. Our eyes must be perfectly lined up so that we can see things clearly. And as someone who with physical double vision, this makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I can take my glasses off and I have 20/20 vision. Double 20/20 vision. And so I still have to wear glasses, even though they replaced my corneas and now I have 20/20 distant vision. But we have to be able to see straight and true. Our vision must be aligned. Our spiritual eyes can be healed, remade. Every sin is a different blindness. Every sin needs realignment. But that can only come after confession that we have been blind, realizing that we have missed something, awakening to the fact that we have been separate from God or separate from others in some way that we have demanded and intended ourselves. We have not seen clearly. Clear vision has been distorted by fear. It's always fear. It's always self-defense. Fear in its many forms. The teaching of the Orthodox Christian faith is that we sin. We miss the mark, not break the rules. Miss the mark of how we should be. Out of fear. Fear is the reason that we miss the mark. Fear is the reason that we feel we have to rise in anger and defend ourselves. We sin out of fear, out of lack of trust in God, out of a desire to return to self-reliance by some lie about how much strength we have, or how good we are, or how exceptional that we are. Sin, missing the mark, closes our eyes and keeps us in darkness, and it makes us unable to remember God. It makes us unable to remember those that we have loved. We only see in them enemies and opposition and persecutors. We are unable to see the world as it is, unable to see others as they are, unable to love them, unable to remember God. And that is why sin offends him. Forgetfulness of those that we love offends them. Jesus Christ said, "Do not forget me. Do this in remembrance of me." Do what? Repentance and then communion. Repentance is preparation for communion. Repentance of having missed the mark. Repentance of having made ourselves distant from God and others. Return and then communion. Christ-healed eyes are clear of selfishness, lust, greed. We are able to see and we are able to love God and able to love others and love them deeply. We need to see all of the time, but we can't keep our eyes open constantly, not without blinking. Each time we blink, our eyes are refreshed by tears. If our eyes are dry of tears, it's very painful. We can't see clearly if our eyes are dry, not able to provide those washing tears. We don't walk with our eyes closed, but in order to see clearly, once every 10 seconds, we blink. Our eyes repent. That is the brief and hardly noticed descent of the eyes into darkness. For that split second, everything is darkness, our eyes are closed. We descend into darkness and immediately return. And because of this, we are able to see and see clearly. The death of the vanity of our eyes, that is what we need in order to be able to see constantly. The death of our vanity about others in the midst of our lives, that is what we need to be able to see clearly. To pass through those brief moments of darkness and back into the light. Our tears cleanse our eyes and give us clear vision. They are baptized by a repentance that refreshes us with tears. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.